As we move forward, Natalie brought this up in the announcements. She was talking about staying focused as we do this Christmas season, because it's easy to get off track. And so I'm going to do something a little twisted to help focus us again. And because as we move toward Christmas, we have to be reminded that, you know, the last regular season NFL game is just 3 days after Christmas. I mentioned that just to help you set your season's priorities. You shouldn't get hung up on Madison Avenue's clever sales tricks, or get lost at the mall during the sales event of the year when you should be preparing for postseason play. There's some of you out there so far out of kilter that you're thinking, you know, that's right. We should be focused on football. What's wrong with me? That Madison Avenue stuff, that's bad. Christmas is about football. You know, I'm waiting for Linus to come breaking through with the meaning of Christmas. I love the little guy. I went online and I listened to him again. Because if you just Google Linus and the meaning of Christmas, you get him. And you can listen to the short version or the little longer version, which doesn't really matter. Because it's still just the short version with a little fluff, you know. But he goes to the second chapter of Luke. And this is what Linus explains to Charlie Brown. He says, and there were in the same country, he does it in the King James Version, so that's what I'm doing. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amidst all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, all the strange stuff that goes on and all the weirdness, Linus stands out and knows the real meaning of Christmas. And I'm hoping that you and I, in our own way, can help other people in this season. I mean, if you're standing in line, and you're going to be standing in line, you can pray for the people around you. You can pray that their hearts and their spirits will be awakened to God's Holy Spirit. You can pray for the people all around you that God will bless them and draw them near to Him, that they will find in this Christmas season the Son of God, and that they will abide in the felt sense of God's presence. Pray that throughout that place and throughout this community, God will take over. God will manifest Himself, and He will change the course that we are on. Only He can do this, and I believe that it's something that He is willing to do, and He is the only one who can actually pull it off. You can't trust, well, maybe you can. I'm not saying that all congressmen and all, but I'm just saying that in the political arena, you can't put your faith. It takes something outside of that, far more powerful than that, to change the way things are. It takes the felt sense of God sweeping the country. As we go through this season, let's use it to touch lives. You know, you don't have to make a lot of noise praying. It's not like my little daughter when she was tiny and she was down at the SeaTac Mall and they were racing those little Hot Wheels and she's just this tiny little thing and mom has taken her and her two brothers into a little store to buy Hot Wheels so they could race in this competition You know, so she's out there and she's running her car. They're all in this, they have, I don't know how many rows of them. They said there was a whole bunch of them that would race at once. And they're going down there and she's just walking around. She's praying in tongues. She's speaking in tongues out there. It's a little kid, you know, wandering around. People are going, whoa, you know, where's she from anyway? And she's just into it, you know, she's just going for it. And she gets down to, at the end, she's in the last heat. It's just two of them. A guy who is totally into it. He knows he's going to win. And they turned that thing loose, and you could still hear her over there going, you know. And those cars, the people who saw it said that they came down, and she kept falling a little bit more behind, a little bit further behind. And they got right down to the very end, and it just went, poink, and she won. She said it was like somebody just went, the angel of the Lord just said, you're getting the go-kart. And I get this call. Dad, you need to go get a pickup truck because we got to get the go-kart home. What? She took the go-kart home. She won the go-kart. Her brother promptly went out and wrecked it, but still. In fact, to this day, in storage, now this goes back more than a couple of years, at least 20. And in this storage area, there is a brand new Camaro go-kart body, exactly like the one that he busted up. And it's in this big crate so that when my daughter actually gets married and raises children, she can give them that car and it'll have a brand new Camaro body on it. A classic Camaro body. You don't have to stand in that line praying in tongues and making noise. They're not going to have to come up and say, hey, where are you from? You can do it quietly under your breath. You can just do it silently. You can be praying for all these people and they don't even know it. You can be like a 007 prayer warrior. And you just pray for their awakening. You just pray for them to come into that felt sense of God's presence. You can be the surreptitious prayer warrior. You know, when you read about the happenings around the country, you read about the fightings on Black Friday right after Thanksgiving, and people are fighting over toys, and they're fighting over TVs and stuff, you know. And then you read about some guy that made off with 7,500 pairs of LeBron James sneakers, you know, and they go for $200 a pop now, you know, and it's obvious something's missing. And it's not football, and it's not toys, and it's not jewelry, and it's not new cars. Back in the days of Walter Cronkite, anybody remember Walter Cronkite? A couple of you remember him. He was on the CBS Evening News. And back on May 8th, 1978, he gave this report. He said that Random House, the publisher, had recalled Woman's Day Crockery Cuisine, the book. And I'm thinking, I have seen cars recalled for various problems. I've seen toys recalled, could hurt children. I've seen car seats recalled, all kinds of things. But a book? Can't you just pencil it in? You know, can't you just make a simple note there? It says, remember this part, or just blot it. I mean, recalling books? Get this. This little recipe was for something called silky caramel slices. Somebody noticed though that they'd left one ingredient out. And without that ingredient, the whole thing could blow up. Serious. The whole thing could go boom. True story. One ingredient makes all the difference between silky caramel slices and kaboom. And I think people are standing in lines at the mall, and they're spending hours online shopping, looking for something that they won't find. There's a missing ingredient, and without it in their lives are going to go kaboom. And Linus knows what that missing ingredient is. He knows. You know, he talks about the shepherds, and when you think about the shepherds that that he's referring to, these are people who work long, hard hours with no real prospect of moving ahead economically in life. They're going to live in this thing and die in this thing. There's no future for them to speak of. Everything just kind of remains pretty much the same. They're not going to achieve anything. They're not going to get a better life. It's just going to stay the same. And then suddenly the angel comes and delivers a message about a baby who will change the world, God's own son. And in that moment, everything changes because God becomes real to them. God becomes real. You have to make contact with him in order to experience it. You have to make contact. Suddenly, everything changes. Everything changes. It's not about stories of times long ago anymore. It's not about what happened in a revival in the 1850s or 1890s. It's not about something that occurred in the 1700s. It's about now with God. Now with God. The felt sense of God now in our communities. We need his kingdom to come and his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And only he can make that happen. Only he, as the scripture says, can rend the heavens and come down. And when he does, the mountains will flow down at his presence. Only he can do it. Only he can bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. You know, the story of the wise men of the East, the Magi, that's actually something that occurs chronologically a couple of years after the birth. It's not at the same time. And we put them all together because it is about the birth. I mean, the wise men, the Magi are coming because of the birth of Christ. They follow the star because of the birth of Christ. But he's a couple of years old, maybe three, when they show up. And the Magi are influential, powerful people. They are wealthy, and they're making this journey to see a child that they believe is God's own son. And they will do whatever they have to do to get to him. Why? What's the big deal? Because it's never happened before, and it's not going to happen again. It's a one-time thing, and they've been looking at those stars, and they know. Now, get this. Jesus wasn't born because the stars lined up. That's not, you know. The stars lined up because Jesus was born. People get that mixed up sometimes. You know, they pull out the horoscopes. Don't go there. You don't need that in your life. That's just garbage. What you need to know is that those men, rich and powerful, influential men, wanted to make this journey to see the Son of God. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to see the Son of God. You see, those wise men of the East, they have needs in their hearts and lives too. He came down and he touched those shepherds. The angel spoke and they touched those shepherds and they experienced God. The Magi were going to go visit the Son of God, see the Son of God. All of them have this need inside, this spiritual need for God. All of us, everybody does. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Forgiveness applies equally to all. Everybody is standing in the need of forgiveness. We all need to experience a miracle working God, whether rich or poor, powerful or weak. Whoever we are, we need help. And God has promised that when the Christ child enters our hearts and lives, we will receive his help. And his help changes us. In fact, his help changes the way we think of not just him, but others. We start to treat other people better. You know, Natalie mentioned that Christmas Eve morning we'll go out and we'll join with Megan's mission again, and we'll go downtown and we'll give things to the needy, those who are down there. Between the common folk, those shepherds and those magi, those wealthy, influential people, there's this common denominator that you see in both of them. Not just the need, but the hope. Hope kept them going. For the shepherds, it was a part of their heritage, this promise that God had made to his people, that there would be one day the Messiah coming. And they lived with that hope. It kept them moving forward in their lives, that yes, he will come, he will put things right, he will straighten things out. That hope burned in the hearts and the lives of the people of Israel. And for the others, for the wealthy, for the magi, you know, every night they would go out and they would search the heavens, looking for that star of promise. And they knew when they saw it, they had to follow it no matter what. Wherever it led them, they had to go there, because it was a sign from God. And it promised them the birth of a king, and that was their hope, that there would be a king come from heaven, and they would see him, and they would worship him. God brings hope to Christmas. He brings hope to us through it, looking for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Is that an impossible dream? I mean, when you read the headlines and you look at what happens and you see all the terror and you see all the destruction and you see all the way people treat each other. Will there always be wars and rumors of wars? The poor, will you always have them with you? Will you always have to deal with the crime and the violence and the terror? There's this one thing that keeps a Christian going, and it's hope that the same one that came will come again, and he will put things right. We dream of a peaceful, good world, a peace that can last for an eternity. We have this hope. You may have heard me tell this story about a seventh grade boy by the name of William Sperling. I've told this story before, and he was a big kid for his age. A little slow mentally, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but everybody liked him. All the kids enjoyed him. He was a good kid. I mean, they wanted him around because if they needed somebody, if they got in a spot, you know, they wanted him on their side. He was big enough to take care of them. When it came time to the Christmas program, he wanted to be a shepherd. He wanted to be on the program. He wanted to be a shepherd. But the director of it said, the teacher said, look, you're going to make a better innkeeper. You can do that deep voice thing. You know, you'd make a rough, tough, mean innkeeper. And when Mary and Joseph came to the inn during the play and they knock on the door, William Sperling opened it. And when they asked for a place to stay, he said harshly, there's no place for you to stay. There's no room in the inn. And Joseph said, but my wife is tired and weary and she's expecting a baby. Isn't there just a small room somewhere where we could rest? And once again, William Sperling said with this roughness in his voice, you'll have to find a place somewhere else. You know, there's no room in the inn. And once more, Joseph just pleaded just for some place for them to stay and spend the night. And then there was this long pause, the kind of pause that makes the actors nervous. Kind of pause that makes the audience nervous. And from the back you could hear the prompters saying, no, be gone, no, be gone, no, be gone. Sperling said with this kind of a softness in his voice, he said, no, be gone. Mary, Joseph, sadly, they turned to leave. And just as they did, suddenly William Sperling gets his voice back. And he says, wait a minute. You can stay in my room and I'll sleep in the shed. Well, in the stunned silence that followed, the teacher thought the whole thing was a disaster and it had all come to naught. The play was ruined. until she thought again of the words of this little 7-year-old boy, or big 7-year-old boy. Because he may have communicated the real truth about the nature of the event. No, you can stay in my room and I'll sleep in the shed. Isn't that what Jesus did? No, you don't have to die for your sins. I'll take your place on the cross. No, you can enter the heavenly home. I'm preparing a place for you there. You know, God waits to see, just as you and I do. We're going to be gift-giving, and we get together in families, and we watch how everybody opens up the gift, don't we? We want to see how they respond to the gift we gave them. We want to see if they're, you know, if what kind of attitude they have toward it, if it works or not. I think God's the same way. He looks at this gift he gave, and he looks at each heart, and he wants to see how each one of us responds to that gift. This gift of his own son, you know, how will we deal with that? How will we work with that? Will we just shine that on, or will we embrace that gift with all our hearts? God wrapped up a gift and he gave it. And he waits to see how we'll treat it. With indifference or rejection or with joy. He waits to see, because what we do with that gift is what we do with him. You ever notice how that feels when you see somebody, you give them something and it doesn't work for them for whatever reason? And how you feel about it inside? Because it affects you. You're the giver. When we reject it, we reject him. When we accept him, we accept him. He waits to see. You know, this morning and throughout this season, he's going to offer that gift to people's lives. He's going to offer people a chance to receive that gift. You can be a part of that in your prayer life. You can lay the foundation for God doing that throughout the community by praying for them. He wants to know what you're going to do with that gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great stories. We thank you for Linus and his reading of the Gospel of Luke account. We thank you for this great story about William Sperling, Lord, and all the things in between. We thank you for all of it. And right now, Lord, we just look at the gift you gave in the birth of Jesus Christ. You gave him for all of us, Lord. And each one of us has to decide what we're going to do with that gift. How we're going to handle the gift from heaven. Will we reject that gift? Will we just be indifferent to that gift? Or will we wholeheartedly embrace the gift from God? We have to decide. So with that thought in mind, and every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, have you done that? Have you made the call? Have you made the decision? How are you going to treat that gift? If you're going to embrace that gift and you've never done it before, if you're going to say yes to the gift of God and you've never done it before, I want to ask you right now just to slip up your hand and say yes. 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 Each one of us has to get to that point, that moment, where we address it. I know most of you, if not all of you, have done that. And I just want to say right now that if you haven't, this is your time. This is your time. You don't know what's going to come tomorrow. You don't know how things will be this afternoon. This is your time. If you've never made that decision, make it now. And you say, yes, I want that gift. I want the gift of God. I want Christ in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, would you look up here? God is good. And all the time. Once more. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Would you all rise, please? I really hope that this day, this afternoon, and this time, you know, if you're coming to the play this afternoon, just I think we're going to be here at 3:30. Come at 4:00. It starts at 4:30. Just I want you to have a wonderful time. It's a good thing to bring people to. I mean, it's going to be fun. We've done some other things. I've seen some other Taproots things, and it's really good. They're really good. Let's pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may He lift up His countenance upon you and smile and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen.